Women all over the world, get ready for inspiring and empowering interviews from women at the top of their field who are kicking butt in their business and who are prepared to share shocking revelations from being in the limelight. You are now listening to Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.
Are you a podcaster or would-be podcaster? Want to know how to shortcut the publishing process and reduce the gazillion steps you have to do before you can actually publish your episode? I'm talking about tagging, then uploading to your hosting provider, then writing your show notes, all using several different software. What if there was a way to do everything in one place? Well, there is. Introducing PrestoPod. PrestoPod is a content management system that helps me plan, organize, and publish every episode in minutes. Here's how I use PrestoPod. After Auphonic spits out the MP3 file of my interviews, I log into my PrestoPod account, select my MP3 file, and hit publish. PrestoPod adds ID3 tags and pushes everything to Libsyn and WordPress in minutes. That's it. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Discover how easy it is to publish your podcast by going to www.mariegraceberg.com/PrestoPod. Again, that's www.mariegraceberg.com/PrestoPod. Women of the world, Marie Grace Berg here, and welcome to today's Leading Women Show, where real stories, real inspiration, and real takeaways are shared by women for women. Today's featured guest is Tema Frank. Tema Frank is a best-selling author and expert. She has worked in customer experience, marketing, and usability testing for over 3 decades. In 2001, she founded Web Mystery Shoppers, the world's first company to test omnichannel customer service, when web, phone, chat, email, and in-store. Using social media techniques before social media existed, she built a database of 75,000 mystery shoppers worldwide. Clients have included Bank of America, Expedia, the Royal Bank of Canada, government departments, businesses, and nonprofits of all sizes. An acclaimed international speaker and teacher, her industry-leading research has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, other business and academic publications, and her love of interviewing comes through in her own podcast, Frank Reactions on Customer Experience. Love for you to visit and learn more about Tema and what she does at www.frankreactions.com. Again, that's frankreactions.com. Tema, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I am delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So, Tema, I really love your story, but let's take our listeners to your journey. You know, your journey as an entrepreneur, touching upon the defining moments, the challenges, the successes, and what's next in your business. So, let's start with you sharing us your story. I'd love for us, love to hear, and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear your unique story from where you are when you started with this business to where you are right now. So kind of picture in their minds, how did you get started and what was the journey look like to where you are today?
Well, I took a very roundabout route, and I can make it all look really good on a resume, but it, honestly, I was just following cool things when they came in front of me. So my career started, I worked in business government relations for the banking industry, and then I worked as a bank marketer for a few years and opening new branches. And it was really in that job that I started to become really focused on the whole issue of customer service and customer experience, and realizing that there's more to delivering good customer service than just having great frontline staff, because we did have fantastic frontline staff. But in the back end, the bank couldn't get its act together. And there's only so long your frontline people can say, I'm sorry, before they lose the confidence of their customers. So that was kind of my first step, I guess. Then I got laid off by the bank, and this is something that your listeners will probably appreciate. I was working in a bit of a boys' club environment, and my boss had literally said to me at one point, you know, you're not helping your career by staying in the office doing your job. You should go to the bar with the vice president. Mm-hmm. And I had no way. That's not why I'm here. And so I was one of the first to get laid off when that time came, despite great performance reviews. So that left me a little jaded about corporate life and thinking maybe it is time to strike out on my own. And I started freelance writing and got married to a professor who had a research leave coming up. So we went and lived in Europe for a year. And I went to a conference on Euro business women, where I met a woman who had written a book about the United Kingdom's best employers for women. And I thought, ooh, what a cool idea. And when I came back to Canada, I was pregnant, figured no one's likely to hire me anyway. And so I wrote the book Canada's Best Employers for Women, which became a bestseller here in Canada. Meanwhile, with my second child, I was having a rougher pregnancy and not doing as much consulting. And so I started really learning about the internet, and this was in the early 1990s, and I actually put up my first website for that book in 1995, so very earliest days of the web, and just was thinking about ways, you know, I tell the story, what inspired that business that you referred to where I had the 75,000 person database was I was at home one day with two young children. My husband was out of town. I was in the middle of a snowstorm. I had no car and I needed diapers. And I thought, there has to be some way I can order these online. But in those days, there wasn't. And I was determined to find a way to make it easier for people to buy stuff online. And that was what led to the creation of Web Mystery Shoppers, which was my first sort of serious business, I guess. And that's the one where we were doing testing of mainly giving companies a lot of feedback about what the problems were on their websites and what needed changing to make it more usable for people. And then I made what was in some ways a good decision, in some ways a bad decision in 2008 when the American economy really took a tumble. And I needed at that same time to do a massive investment to update my software and just couldn't justify it. So I pretty much closed the business. But the big mistake was that 75,000 person database, mm-hmm. because I was feeling like a failure for not mm-hmm. having been able to get the business to really succeed. Mm-hmm. I just sent them all an email and said, look, I'm really sorry I couldn't make this work for you. Have a great life. And I said goodbye to that database, which was really dumb. But, you know, you live and learn. And so it took me a couple of years to recover from that, I think, emotionally. Did some consulting. And then I've always loved radio interviews. And so I thought, you know, I could do a podcast. And so I started podcasting. My first podcast was aimed at small businesses that wanted to sell online, and it was really primarily focused on Canadian companies. Mm-hmm. But then that merged into the Frank Reactions podcast, where I'm looking at customer service and customer experience in the digital era and how you can do better. And it also led ultimately to the book, which I've just released, called People Shock: The Path to Profits When Customers Rule. So that's my story.
Yes, it really isn't a straight path.
No. To... Absolutely not.
Yes, and I've been joking with my husband because I said, well, mine is really zigzagging too much.
But that happens. You know what? If you follow opportunities, sometimes you have to zigzag.
Oh, I totally agree. And I'm sure that will resonate a lot to our listeners. A beautiful story. Now they've seen how your path was, how your journey was. And now they believe, okay, it really isn't a straight path. And have that, you know, and in mind that, okay, it isn't really. And that's the beauty of having this business, because it can take you to places you never thought will bring you. As long as you enjoy the journey. I mean, that's one thing I've noticed is that, wow, I never thought that I would be in this area. And it's been taking me a lot of zigzagging, but at the same time, it's so rewarding because, okay, there are days, and I have to be honest, there are days that it's really tough, But at the same time, there are days that are so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Now, okay, so let's talk about some of the myths or the lies or the misconceptions that people have, especially in this type of business that you are in. I could imagine during those days when you got first started with the internet, that was the early stage.
Yes.
But for now, for example, for those who are just starting out and maybe for them, okay, this is new to me. What are those things that they have in mind that you heard of or people that you know have said about being in this business?
Okay, so just to clarify, so my current business is basically consulting, speaking, teaching, and writing about digital marketing and digital customer experience. So if they're looking at setting up a consult, you know, that kind of business, here are some of the myths. The first one is that having people know who you are will automatically bring business to you. Because what I've found is a lot of people know my name, they tell me they really respect my work, but until I go out there and actually tell them explicitly, it doesn't occur to them that they could actually work with me and my company. Because they just figure, oh, I guess she's so busy or she'll be too expensive or whatever. Mm. It's kind of like, you know, the most beautiful girl who doesn't get an invite to the prom because everyone assumes someone more prestigious will invite her.
Yes.
So that's one. Another one is that being self-employed means you'll have total flexibility. Which, you know, you do have way more flexibility when you're self-employed than you do working for somebody else. But on the other hand, especially if you're doing consulting or speaking, you're at the mercy of your clients. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a tight deadline, you've got to find a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. So that can mean very late nights. That mm-hmm. can mean working through weekends. It can mean very little time off. So need to be aware of that. Another one is the notion that you can totally build your business without doing any kind of cold outreach. And I mean, it depends how you define cold, right? I develop a lot of, I warm leads up, I guess, through things like LinkedIn, where they do read some of my work. But ultimately, especially now, because the internet is so crowded now, you have to find a way to get in front of people. And it's really, really difficult to do that now just through social media. You need to go a little deeper. And sometimes that does mean you've got to call strangers or go out and talk to them at events. You got to get out there.
Mm.
Another one, and this is a biggie, is the notion that you can evaluate your own marketing materials or your own website, because the fact is, you know what you're trying to do and what you're trying to say. You cannot possibly step outside and read it the way an outsider would. And so very often companies put things on their website that make total sense to them, and then people go to their website and they just bounce away because they don't get the point mm-hmm. or they can't find what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the final one that I'm putting in here, particularly because it is a female-to-female audience here, another myth is that children will respect a closed door. They don't. Although, do try to start training them very early.
Oh, awesome myths that you just busted. And yes, if our listeners are considering going into this type of business, like for example consulting, whether that be digital marketing or other types of consulting from business to business or business to consumers, those really are very helpful to know. And now that Tema had busted them, now you know that they know what to do. You know that they are just patterns, belief patterns that you have to really be aware of, and not be not let them be a hindrance to you building this business that you want to build. And yeah, I love number five, which one you said about children respect door closed, because I've had lots of guests here on the show. Where most of us are working from home, and that can be a challenge while having kids. But I mean, that's the beauty of having a business that we can operate from home, because then we are closer to our family. So there's
absolutely.
A
I mean, it's such a mixed bag, right? I mean, I loved being able to work from home when my children were young. I loved being able to be here when they came home from school full of stories and hear those stories, even if it meant that I went back to work late at night. That kind of freedom was just tremendously valuable as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. You've said it well. All right. So let's outline for our listeners the steps that you took. I know you've shared with us your journey from where you got started to where you are today. But now, for the sake of our listeners, and our listeners are really into like step-by-step things that they can follow, you know, they want like a blueprint. So for example, somebody out there who is listening, they want to follow or they want to model how you get to where you are today. Outline for us, maybe in a few steps, maybe 5 or 7 steps, those steps that you took that help you get to where you are today. Maybe that would help our listeners to see for themselves, okay, Tema took these steps. I can model this. I can do this. So if you can share with us those bullet points or those areas or those steps that you took roughly, just to help our listeners see for themselves that they too can do this.
Well, I think the first step is opening your mind to other ideas and different ways of seeing things. So one of the things that I found very helpful was to actually travel a little bit, even just going from Canada to the United States. As much as the U.S. has a lot of problems these days, they were ahead of us when it came to the internet. And I used to go down there sometimes to visit my parents who spent their winters there. And I would see some of the clever things that were happening with e-commerce and realize, hey, you know, we should be doing this. So sometimes you'll see ideas, whether it's in a different country or a different industry, that you could apply to the one that you want to work in. So I would say step one is just open your eyes, look around, see what's going on out there elsewhere. See what's maybe missing where you are that you might be able to help fill. The second thing, and it relates to that, is really understanding your niche. So once you've come up with this idea, and play with your ideas, give it time to try and flesh it out. Don't just jump into something without having spent some time really questioning it, critiquing it, streamlining it, twisting and playing with it to make sure it sounds good, seems good to you. And then go and talk to people who are like your target customers and get their opinions, get their honest opinions. Don't just talk to friends and family, you know, find out from them what are the issues that they're dealing with in their work, if you're selling to businesses, or in their lives, if you're selling to people. Well, businesses are people, they're made up of people, but you know, find out what are the challenges they're dealing with, and then try and get a sense of how you could develop your offering so that it will help them meet one of those challenges. So I think sort of those first two research steps are probably the most important steps that a lot of people overlook or they don't pay enough attention to. If you can even go to the point of, you know, if you're developing products, doing a prototype product, or if it's a service, testing it out with a few potential clients to get feedback. You really, no idea comes perfectly out of the box. You have to refine them. So I think those are probably the two most important steps to start. Then you need to, I personally, I have mixed feelings about business plans. I think business plans are a good thing because they help you think it through. Mm-hmm. I think the financial part of business plans, it's a good idea to try to work through it and see if you're making reasonable assumptions, but it's really hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, every entrepreneur I've ever spoken to, I ask them, you know, when you did your first business plan, how did you come up with the numbers, the projected sales, the projected expenses? Mm-hmm. And every one of them admitted to me they pretty much plucked it out of thin air because you don't really know. You have no idea how much you're going to sell, if it's a new product or something completely new. So, you know, give yourself some scenarios, worst case, best case, and then something in between. So you can see, okay, if we get this worst case scenario, how quickly will I go bankrupt? If we get this best case scenario, will I be able to keep up with demand? And then, you know, where's something in between, and then work backwards. Say, okay, if I want to make that many sales, what do I need to do? how many, you know, what do I need to do to generate those sales? Mm-hmm. What kind of marketing, what kind of promotion? How will I find those people? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good place to start. I mean, you know, I could go on for ages about this, but I'd say that why don't we start with those three? Because I think if I give too many of a list, it'll just sidetrack people.
Right. And those are really the foundation, the building blocks of building your business. So there you go, our listeners. Really hone on this two steps, that especially those first two steps, you know, getting your ideas and understanding your niche. There's, you know, we can talk like hours just about understanding your niche. There's so much that goes to that, that you can learn from that. And yeah, I love what you said about traveling a little bit to get more ideas, because I found out when I grew up from the Philippines. We moved to the US early in the late 90s. And then just almost 3 years ago, me and my husband started living in both Norway and in the US. So, and yes, I've learned a lot from all the places that I've been with, the people that I interact. And also now, when I started learning about marketing, I now pay more attention to words or to advertisements or to images that I see everywhere. You become more aware.
And I found the same thing mm-hmm. when I was writing my book mm-hmm. in the time leading up to the actual writing. Mm-hmm. Every time I read a business book, I was analyzing not just what they were saying, but how mm-hmm. they were saying it. Mm-hmm. So I learned important things. I mean, I spent way too long in university, so I tended to write in a kind of academic way mm-hmm. and all very logical. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is if I want people to actually read my book and get the ideas, mm-hmm. I got to tell stories.
Yes.
And so every chapter starts with a story, and I've got case studies in there. So you learn from experience, and stories are really, really important.
Mm-hmm. That is really huge. But and speaking of story, because I love, this is one thing that I've started incorporating in my contents, in my emails, for example. I love the stories, because that's what connects us. But what do you do? How do you integrate your story or other people's story in your copy or in your contents or in your marketing piece? Do you share your own story or your case study story or other people's story? How do you weave this into
all
your
of the
marketing?
Above.
All of the above. Awesome.
All of the above. And for me, honestly, the hardest part was starting to include my own stories. Mm. The book, People Shock, I've got quite a few of my own stories in there. And in fact, I start with one that even startled my daughter. She didn't realize that I'd ever worn stiletto heels, because now I wear comfortable shoes. But so I think if you can tell your own story, and if it makes sense, mm-hmm. if you can relate it to what it is that you're trying to sell, mm-hmm. then do tell your own story, because that's going to be the most powerful.
Mm-hmm. So how personal can you be in sharing your, I mean, I agree with what you said, that if your story makes sense and it is within the context of what you are trying to convey to your audience, it really makes sense. But how personal can you be? I mean, have you had an experience on what type of, or how personal can you be with your story, with what you share with them?
Well, I think a lot of that depends on your own comfort level, mm-hmm. and it depends on what type of audience you're talking to. Mm. So I'm thinking, for instance, with a podcast like yours, and you're talking to fellow women entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. there's almost a level of openness that mm-hmm. I think a lot of women feel that we can express with other women, mm-hmm. where we might be a little more guarded mm-hmm. with a mixed audience. Mm-hmm. So that sometimes lets you open up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But it also, you know, it depends on how comfortable, for instance, are your family members. So mm-hmm. my husband, I will occasionally mention him in my work, mm-hmm. but I won't tell stories about him, mm-hmm. and I don't mention his name. Mm-hmm. when I do anything, because he's not comfortable with that.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Great tips there. Yes, I agree with you with the type of audience. And yes, you gauge it by yourself on how comfortable you are in sharing those personal stories. And also really taking note that if it makes sense to share that story, if it inspires, or if it really connects to the message that you're trying to convey, then share that story. But yes, I agree with you. I mean, a lot of us are not comfortable in sharing other personal stories of our lives, for example, our family members, for example. But gauge it according to how comfortable you are with what Tema just shared with us and the type of audience that you're serving. Especially for us women, I agree with you. We are more sensitive to each other's stories, and we are more get inspired and empowered, and we connect because of the stories that we share. Brilliant. That's a great tip. All right. So if there's one thing that our listeners can do besides those two things that you shared earlier, what would that be that they can do today to get started? What would that be?
I was going to say, I ended up messing up my order here because I was going to say basically that: listen to your customers, listen to the people you want to serve. Mm-hmm. And then I would say start experimenting, start mm-hmm. trying some things and see how they go, and start refining what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So listen to the customers that you serve, start experimenting. I mean, this is really brilliant idea, because, you know, for me now, I see everything that I do as a test. Earlier, when I got started, I got so attached to the outcome of everything yeah. I do, and I got disappointed if I don't like the results. So I learned to see things that I do as a test. So if it didn't go the way I wanted it, then I know that, okay, that didn't work. That my customers didn't like that, didn't want that. Then I move on and iterate from or change or introduce another one, or I ask them, what do they really want? Yeah, brilliant. Got it.
Well, I love your idea of thinking of each thing as a test. I think that, you know, I'm going to adopt that, because I'd never really thought of it in quite that way. But yeah, that would make it so much easier to deal with failure.
Exactly. It reduces the pressure on you, on yourself. All right. Okay. So we've given them a lot of good stuff that they can take action on, especially for those who are just starting out in business or thinking of going into business by themselves. So I'd love for us now to talk about what excites you about your business. Love for you to share with us any program or anything that you want to share with our listeners. What is it? Who is it for? What do they get? What results that they expect with it? And of course, where can they learn more about it?
Okay, well, right now, the only thing I'm flogging, I guess, is the book People Shock, which they can get at pretty well any online retailer, Amazon and all kinds of others. So just look for People Shock, all as one word. But what I would like to offer to your audience, because as I said, one of the most common mistakes that I see is companies that put up websites thinking that they're great websites, but they really have no idea of whether they've got it right or whether they've missed important things. And there are sometimes really important things that companies do get wrong. Mm-hmm. So I've got a little document called 85 Tips for a Better Website, and I'd like to offer that free to your audience if they go to frankreactions.com/TLW.
All right. So that's www.frankreactions.com/TLW. What a generous offer. So I really love you, our audience, to go there now. Pick up this gift that Tema is giving us, 85 tips for a better website. Who doesn't need that? This will be your gauge. I need that one too. So I will go there as well. So go there now, frankreactions.com/TLW. And of course, don't forget to pick up her book. I'm going to go there now, amazon.com. People Shock, in one word, The Path to Profits When Customers Rule. I love that. So you can pick up that book, whether that be hardcover. I love hardcover books. Or if you are international and you can't wait to devour the book, I do that one also. Get the Kindle version as well, or get both. I love
that. Well, and I think the way I've set it up, If you buy the physical copy, you get the Kindle for $1.99 or something. It's pretty cheap.
There you go. You can't lose with that. So again, that's People Shock in one word. You can check it on Amazon.com and pick up her gift for you. 85 tips for a better website at www.frankreactions.com. And also, as a fellow podcaster, don't forget to listen and tune into her podcast on iTunes. You can also check the link from the website. That's linked from your website too, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, so it's called Frank Reactions as well. FrankReactions.com is the website. So thank you so much, Tema. Any parting words for our listeners before we sign out?
I guess my parting words are stay with it. Don't let yourself get ground down by little defeats. As the husband of a friend of mine says, the movie's not over yet.
That will be a reflection of the day. So I'll have that one on our show notes. Tema, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story, you know, your expertise, for being a role model to us and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. Women of the world, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Thank you very much.
Are you a podcaster or would-be podcaster? Want to know how to shortcut the publishing process and reduce the gazillion steps you have to do before you can actually publish your episode? I'm talking about tagging, then uploading to your hosting provider, then writing your show notes, all using several different software. What if there was a way to do everything in one place? Well, there is. Introducing PrestoPod. PrestoPod is a content management system that helps me plan, organize, and publish every episode in minutes. Here's how I use PrestoPod. After Auphonic spits out the MP3 file of my interviews, I log into my PrestoPod account, select my MP3 file, and hit publish. PrestoPod adds ID3 tags and pushes everything to Libsyn and WordPress in minutes. That's it. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Discover how easy it is to publish your podcast by going to www.mariegraceberg.com/PrestoPod. Again, that's www.mariegraceberg.com/PrestoPod.
Inspired and empowered to make it happen? Then take the next step and go get your free guide to the top 10 resources that today's leading women use to stay at the top of their game, plus Marie's favorite today. Visit todaysleadingwomen.com/guide for your free download, and we'll see you on the next episode of Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.